All right, Jonathan Dove, Parshas Truma. Start your day, tell you where Manchester. Yeah.
Hi. Okay, so there's a clock on the wall.
There's a clock over here. Yeah.
Good morning, and I'd like to thank Start Your Day the Torah Way for the opportunity to speak here this morning. We made chasana here on Monday, Baruch Hashem. Our son got married to Leah Brackman, now Leah Dove, Baruch Hashem. And so we came for a simcha, and it's a simcha to join with you here today and share a couple of ideas. So there are two ideas I'd like to share with you. The first idea is the following. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was an extremely reliable individual, to say the very, very least. Moshe Rabbeinu, Eved Ne'eman Karas Aloi. The Rabbeinu Shem called him an Eved Ne'eman. He was a trustworthy servant. And if the Rabbeinu Shelalem is going to be meid on Moshe Rabbeinu that he was a trustworthy servant, we can be sure that he never ever diverted from any of the tzivuyim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it becomes somewhat puzzling when we read the verse to do with the pasuk, to do with Kabbalah Satorah. It says, Moshe Allah Elah. Allah El Ha'elokim, Vayikra Elav Hashem Min Hahar Leimor. Kodesh Baruch Hu calls out to Moshe Rabbeinu from the mountain, Leimor, saying, Koi Somar Lebeis Yaakov V'saged Levenei Yisrael. Koi Somar, so you should say, with such specificity, you have to say it in a very, very particular way. Rashi says, "Beloshen hazer ukaseida hazer." Koi somar. We understand that Moshe Rabbeinu has never diverted, never changed from anything that the Rabbeinu Shem has ever told him. But over here, there's an extra hadgosha, an extra emphasis. Koi somar. You have to say it exactly. Beloshen hazer ukaseida hazer. You're not allowed to change the words. Nor the Seder. Even if you include all the words, but you change the Seder, even that you're not allowed to do, Moshe Rabbeinu. So what is so important? What is so important about what is about to be said? So I'm going to share with you an idea that I heard from Reb Meir Chodosh, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. I was privileged, and it was a pleasure too, to have heard Reb Meir speak. In a Teres Yisrael where I learned, I went to his sichas for 4 years before he was nifta. At the age of 91, he was the last surviving Talmud, close Talmud, HaMashamesh B'mechitzasa HaKroiva Shela Altamis Lobotka. That Imamish was one of the Mashamshim of the Saba, he used to call the Saba or the Alta of Slobotka. And he shared the following idea. So here comes the words that Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowed to change the words, nor change the Seder of the words. And what is about to be said that is so very specific, so important that Klal Yisrael has to hear this and understand this before Kabbalah Satorah. This is the preamble to the Kabbalah Satorah, to receiving the Aseres HaDibros. Atem Re'isem Asher Sisi L'Mitzrayim. Ve'ese Eschem Al Kanfei Nesharim Va'avi Eschem Eloi. Atim Ra'isem. Rashi says as follows. You saw. What does it mean you saw? So Rashi says, Lo Mesoiras hi biyadchem. It's not a tradition that you have in your hands. Lo bedvarim ani meshager lachem. And it's also not being represented simply in words. Lo be'edim ani me'id aleichem. And it's not through the testimony of witnesses. Ela atim ra'isem. You, Klal Yisrael, saw with your own eyes. What did you see that's so important? That had to be seen even with their own eyes. Not witness, not words, and not any ideas to represent that. But you saw it with your own eyes. What was that? Atim ra'isem asher sisi l'mitzrayim. You saw what I did to the Mitzrim. Al kama averus hayu chayovim li kodim shenizdavgu lachem. They were chayev, they were obliged. They were avaryonim. And the Rebbein Shalom took that into account, kodim shenizdavgu lachem, before he formulated the relationship that he wanted to have with Klal Yisrael, which is being set up right now. And he passed over what they did. Reb Meir says, although it's not mentioned in Rashi here specifically, but the averas that they did were the harpsta averas, gila araya, shvichus domim, avoida zora. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed that to ride. Ve'lo nifresi mehem ela al yadchem. When the Rebbein Shalom said, when I enacted retribution against the Mitzrim, it wasn't for all those terrible averas. I let that ride. V'lo nifresi mehem ela al yadchem. Because you made the shibud so poisonous and painful, so horrifically difficult. That is why, the Rebbein Shalom says, I exacted punishment against the Egyptians. That's point number one, which I'll return to. And the second part of the pasuk is Ve'esa eschem. I carried you. Al kanfei nasharim. On the wings of eagles. And over here, if we understand the moshel that's being set out over here of Al Kanfei Nasharim, it's an absolutely remarkable moshel for the understanding of the relationship of the Rebbei Hashem towards Klal Yisrael. So I'll read it, we'll read it together. Al Kanfei Nasharim, Kenesher Hanoise Gozolov Al Knofov. It's like an eagle. That carries its young on its wings, which is a very unusual way for a bird to carry its young. Why does it carry it on its wings and not in its claws? Its talons. Shekol shar ha'oifos, noisnim esbneihem ben raglehem. All other birds carry their young in their talons, in their feet. Lefi shemizyarim me'oif acher ha'pureach al gabehem, because they are fearful of another bird that's flying over and above them. So if the other birds, every other bird except for an eagle, wants to protect its young, it carries it in its feet because its predator is going to swoop down from above and potentially attack the gozolov, the young, the chicks. But what's different about the nesher? Aval ha-nesher hazeh. This eagle, which is the moshel that's mentioned in the posuk, enu misyari, ela min ha-odom. The eagle flies so high, at such a lofty altitude, that there's no bird that flies higher in altitude than the eagle. So the only thing that the eagle has to fear is Adam, is man. There's no predator that's going to fly higher than the eagle and potentially attack its young. And therefore, it carries its young on its wings, because the only predator of an eagle is man himself. Shema Yizrok Boichetz. Perhaps it will shoot off, a human being will shoot off an arrow, and that arrow will enter the eagle and kill it. Lefisha en of Porech al Gabav Lechen Noisna al Knofov. And it says, the eagle says, now remember, the eagle over here is Ki'ilu a Moshel for the Rabbeinu Shalom, who carried us on eagle's wings. Just hear these words, and this is a Moshel for the relationship of the Rabbeinu Shalom towards Klal Yisrael. Mutav yikanes hachetz bi, let the arrow enter me. Kiveyochol, says the Rabbeinu Shalom, v'lo v'bonai, but not in my children, Klal Yisrael. Af ani asisi ken. And so the Rabbeinu Shalom says, I did exactly that. Just like the eagle protects its young by carrying them on its back, because it says to itself, ki'ilu, says to itself, mutav yikane sachetz bi v'lo v'bonai, says the Rabbeinu Shalom, this is the moshel for my relationship with you, Klal Yisrael. The Anani HaKovod are going to surround you. There was some sort of kiveyochol representation of the Shekhinah. And mutav yikanes hachetz bi, let the arrows go into the clouds of glory, into the Anani HaKovod, which is ki'ilu a pogaya in the something of the Rabbeinu Shalom, kiveyochol. But rather let that happen and let my Klal Yisrael be protected. So these are the two points. There are others, but these are the two points that Reb Meir Chodosh mentioned had to be said. Beloshan azer ukaseda azer. You can't divert from the words nor the order. So what's so important about this? We see two things that have to be taken upon ourselves before receiving the Torah, said Reb Meir. You saw, he says, that as far as the Rabbeinu Shalom was concerned, even though the Mitzrayim did these terrible averos, he let that ride. He did not exact punishment. But when it came to Klal Yisrael, when the Mitzrayim were punitive towards Klal Yisrael and made them suffer more than there was their due, when it came to the suffering of Klal Yisrael, the Rabbeinu Shalom had no more rachmonas, and he exacted punishment. That's, said Reb Meir, is the kovod of Klal Yisrael in the eyes of the Rabbeinu Shalom. We have to understand the tremendous importance of kovod Yisrael in the eyes of the Rabbeinu Shalom. That he is prepared to forego on the averas of the Mitzrayim, but not on kovod Yisrael. What was the second point then? The second point is the Chiba Yisera of the Rabbeinu Shalom, the tremendous outstanding affection of the Rabbeinu Shalom towards Klal Yisrael. And that's the Moshel of Kanfei Nesharim. If we think for a moment in reality that it's being set out here in the Pasuk, that Hashem says, this is the way I carried you, like an eagle carries its youngs. Mutav yikanes sachetz bi v'lo v'vonai. Let kiviyochol the Rabbeinu Shalom get, can't be damaged, but look as if it's going to be damaged by the chitzim, but v'lo v'vonai. The tremendous affection that the Rabbeinu Shalom has for Klal Yisrael. And Reb Meir said that these two ideas of kovod Yisrael and the chiba yisera of the Rabbeinu Shalom towards Klal Yisrael, those two ideas had to be set out. Baloshan hazer ukaseda hazer. Koy samar. Do not divert. Do not detract. Do not add. Say it exactly the way I'm saying it to you, to say over to Klal Yisrael. And that needed to be understood, to be comprehended, and to be taken on board by Klal Yisrael before they even received the Aseres HaDibros. I didn't hear this from Reb Meir Chodosh, but if you look in the first Rashi of every Sefer of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, mentions the Chiba of the Rebbein Shem towards Klal Yisrael. Have a look at the first Rashi, that was one of his avoiders. Every first Rashi of every Sefer in Chamishei Chumshei Torah mentions in some way the Chiba of Klal Yisrael. That Klal Yisrael, Nichna Reishis, etc., etc. So that's the one idea. That's the first idea I'd like to share with you. That we learn in the preamble before receiving the Torah of the importance of Kovod Yisrael in the eyes of the Rebbein Shem and the Chiba Yisera, the extraordinary affection of the Rebbein Shem for Klal Yisrael. That he's prepared to forego on the Harbstar Veris, no matter what Egypt did, he let that ride. But when it came to a Pagia in Kovod Yisrael, that was it. The Midrash says actually that that the Rebbein Shem was sitting on the Kiseh Rachamim. Elu Ovda Avodah Zorah Ve'elu Ovda Avodah Zorah. The Tsar of Mitzrayim was making the argument. But the Malach Gavriel bought a brick. And because they'd stopped giving Klal Yisrael straw, and straw was there to make up the volume of the bricks that they were using in the terrible slavery that the Mitzrayim imposed. So because the straw had been withdrawn, when the Egyptians saw they weren't making up their quotas, they threw in, Rachmona Litzlan, they threw in a Jewish infant into the mortar to make up the volume. And the Malach Gavriel came with this brick, with this infant buried in. And it says, Kaviyachal, that the Rebbein Shalom got off the Kisei Rachamim and sat on the Kisei Hadin, and that's when the Mitzrim, it was Nigzah, that they were going to die at Yam Suf. And perhaps that's an allusion over here, V'lo nifresi ela al yadchem. When he saw that it was Kovod Yisrael that was being pogea, that was it. He'd had enough, no more rachamim, pure din, for the people who imposed that, the Mitzrayim. So that's idea number one. The second idea is an idea that I mentioned at the Chasana, because it's an idea that's very, very dear to me. And in that vein, I'll share it with you. In the description of what Har Sinai looked like as the Torah was about to be given, it says, V'hahar Oshan Kuloi, that the mountain was covered in smoke, or some sort of vapor, some sort of smoke. And the Sfarim say that Oshan is an acronym for Olam, Shana, V'Nefesh. There are three dimensions of human living. Olam is space, Shana is an allusion to time, and Nefesh is soul. And those three dimensions are the three dimensions of human living, human life. Wherever we are, we're moving in those dimensions, space, time, and soul, the neshama within us. And I saw an amazingly beautiful idea of one of the Ger Rebbes, the Sfas Emes. We know from Pirkei Avos, one of the most famous limudim that come out of Pirkei Avos, is im eina nili mili. If I am not for myself, who will be for me? Koshani la'atzmi, if I'm solely for myself, ma'ani, what sort of person is that, that you're just devoting to yourself? V'em lo achshav, and if not now, when? So the Gera Rebbe says as follows. Im eina nili mili, if I don't do for myself, who will do for me? That's the dimension of nefesh. Soul. Ukshani la'atzmi, if I'm solely for myself, ma'ani, what am I? That's the dimension of oilam, space. Because wherever we are, we're part of an environment, we're part of a community, we're part of a society. And if I solely devote myself to me, then what am I? What kind of a person is that? V'im lo achshav, and if not now, emosai, when? That's the dimension of shana, of time. Beautifully, beautifully symmetrical. So he says that when a person is working on their avodas Hashem, we all have to work on those three dimensions. A person is given a very, very tire, pure chelak elokam imal, the neshama, the nefesh, the neshama. And that is something that we have to develop. We have to elevate. If we don't elevate our nefesh, our neshama, im eina nili mili, there's nobody else in history, there's nobody else in the present, and there's nobody else in the future who will exactly duplicate any single person's neshama here in this room. The Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't need any redundancies or superfluous individuals. Every single person is here at his will, at his behest, at this time, in this place, and in this soul. And so, im eina nili mili, if I don't work on myself, who's going to do it for me? So he says that's, the Sfas Emes says that's the dimension of soul, of nefesh. Ksha'ani la'atzmi ma'ani, he says is the dimension of soul, of oilam, sorry, the dimension of space. Because if I just become a tzaddik in pelts, and I just sit in a corner in some closed room working on myself to the exclusion of the community, society and environment around me, in whichever way I can kosher, in a kosher oifen, interact with them and interface with them, ma'ani, what type of person is that? So I don't only have the obligation to elevate my neshama, my nefesh, but I have the obligation to elevate my nefesh, my neshama, within the context in which I live. I have to try and raise to whatever extent is possible, and of course some people will be able to have a major, major impact, and some people will have a much more minor impact. But everybody will have some impact on the community, the society, and the environment around them. And we're expected not only to elevate our neshama and our nefesh, but to bring up those around us. And I saw a story not so long ago about somebody in America who was working in a business environment. And he went to his Rebbe and he's saying, you know, things are difficult working in such an environment. He wasn't fortunate enough to have a Yiddish company to work with. So there were other people around him, and sometimes, you know, things became not unpleasant, but it wasn't exactly a nurturing environment, let's call it that much. So his Rav asked him, tell me, when you're in their midst, how do they behave differently than if you're not there? So he thought for a bit and he said, you know what? It's interesting you ask that question. Because whenever I'm in their midst, they never use foul language. They don't swear. They don't use unpleasant language. And it's not something that I've imposed. I didn't tell them, feh, don't say that. They just see that I'm somebody who's very careful about the way I speak. And they suddenly become somewhat more careful about the way they speak. At least, chotch, to the exclusion of swear words. And using some more loshon nekiyah. So that person has, even unwittingly, until his rov asked him that question, he's elevated oilam, he's elevated his environment, his work environment. Because in the time at least that he's in their midst, at least they're speaking like decent, upright individuals, as opposed to sometimes when they lapse into other sorts of language. And then the last dimension is im lo achshav emosai, if not now, when? Which is the dimension of shana, which is an allusion to time, from that acronym Oshan, Oilam Shana V'Nefesh. So those are the three dimensions. But when we say im eina nili mili, uchshani l'atzmi ma'ani, what is being added by im lo achshav emosai? Says the Sfas Emes that not only do we need to elevate our nefesh, our neshama, not only do we have to elevate our context in which we live, the community, the society, the environment around us, to whatever extent we can impact upon that, but this moment needs to be elevated, and so does this moment, and so does this moment, and so does this moment. Every single moment of life has the potential to be elevated, and we're required to use that elevation in the context, in the framework of time as well. That even that needs some elevation. Now to set out what it means, achshav, what it means, if not now, I'd like to share with you the following idea, which I remember reading about 30 years ago. And when I read this idea, I closed the sefer and I walked around almost bebehola for the rest of the day. Rav Tukachinsky, Zichron Ivrocha, who wrote his magnum opus, his major, major work called Gesher Achaim. Gesher Achaim is made up of three chalokim. The first two chalokim are Hilchas Avelos. And he left in his tzavoa, a tzivoy, that the third chalek of Gesher Achaim should always be printed separately. Not only did he leave it in his tzavoa that the third chalek should be printed separately, but he left money, and his son writes in the English translation. His son had it translated, and he had some notations of his own. That he left money, and in particular, some part of that money was coins, in order that a first printing of the third chalek after his death should continue. That's how particular he was. So what's the third chalek of Gesher Achaim? The first two chalokim are Hilchas Avelos. The third chalek is on life, death, and the transition. It's an absolutely mind-boggling sefer to read, and it's available in English called The Bridge of Life. And it starts off, the first paragraph almost, says there is no such thing as the present. I read it in an English translation. There's no such thing as the present, which his son had translated. So what does it mean there's no such thing as the present? We say, at present, I'm in Manchester. Tonight I'll be going back down to London. At present, for us, very often, present is an extended period of time. Right? At present, I'm a student in university. That's a whole year. At present, I'm learning in Mir. But after the summer, I'm going to change to wherever. Present seems like an elongated time period. He says, no, not at all. There's no such thing as the present. So when we speak about the hoyver, when we say, lo achshav, emosa, if not now, when, what does that actually mean? So he says as follows. The present is merely a point in time, try and imagine a timeline, it's just a point in time, not a second, it's just a point, where the future becomes the past. That's all the present is. It's an unbelievable way of looking at the present. The present is just a point in time where the future is converted into the past. So it's unbelievably, remarkably short period. It's not even a period of time, it's just a point. And that very point, each and every one of those, as that time of future transitions into the past and passes that point of present, each moment is pregnant with potential, full of potential for elevation. And even that moment, such as it is, has to be elevated by us, according to Imloach Shav Emosai. So that, Rabbi Isai, are the three ideas I wanted to share with you in this sort of second chelek. The first part was Koi Samar. Koloshon Azer Kased Azer. Don't change the order, don't change the words. And the two points that emerge from that, Tzivui, that you have to say in exactly this way, in exactly this order, is Atim Re'isem. You saw how I, the Rebbein Shem says, how he exacted punishment only because of the covet of Klal Yisrael. For his own covet, Kaviyochol, he was prepared to forego. Covet of Klal Yisrael, he was not prepared to forego. Veloni Freisi Ela Al Yadchem. You Klal Yisrael, because of your covet, the Pagia and your covet, that's why I exacted punishment, says the Rebbein Shem. Al Kanfei Nesharim. Rebbein Shem carried us like on eagle's wings. What does that mean? The bottom line is Mutav Kanes Chetz Bi Velo Bevanai. Hashem says, so to speak, my Klal Yisrael are so dear. I have such Chiba Yisera, such incredible affection for Klal Yisrael. Let the arrows, Kiviyochol, enter me, says the Rebbein Shem. But not my children, Klal Yisrael. And that's what needs to be understood, fully internalized and taken on board before we even receive the Aseres Adibros and the Torah at Har Sinai. That's what he wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to give over to Klal Yisrael. And then, as it was about to be given, there's a description of Har Ashen Kuloi. And Ashen, say, the Sforim, stands for Olam Shana V'Nefesh, three dimensions of human living, space, time, and soul, which the Sfas Emes beautifully says is represented in those three aspects of Pirkei Avos. Im Ein Ani Li, Mi Li. I need to work on myself to elevate that dimension of Nefesh. Not only that, the impact that I have in living my life and in reaching out to people in some way or another that surround me, my community, my workspace, my society, the environment, that's something that I need to elevate together with my own work on my own neshama. And im loach shav emosai, if not now, when? And that's the dimension of shana, which is time, right? Every single rega. And according to the explanation of Tukhachinsky, even a nanosecond, a billionth of a second, is too long to explain what Achshav means. It's merely a transition of the future becoming the past. That's where the present is. And so as we're actively invested in the present and doing what we're meant to be doing, Torah, Avodah, Gemilus Chasodim, as we're doing that, each and every moment has the potential and capacity to be elevated, and that's an obligation upon us as well. Thank you very much for listening.